Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I want to greet all of you, my esteemed listeners. This is another section or another session, Hare Bol, in our series of lectures called learning through the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita what it means to learn through the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the book Chaitanya Charitamrita, those associates are described to be dvaras, or doors. So just like a person can walk through a door, or a child can walk through a door, or sometimes even a cat can walk through a door, a lesson can also walk through a person, who in that case becomes Sanatan Dvara, the door of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or in this case Damodar Pandit Dvara, the door of Damodar Pandit. This expression indicates that something comes to us through this particular associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today we will learn a very important lesson coming through to us, the lesson of being straightforward, honest, being true to one's word. A little while ago, the great boxer Muhammad Ali left his body, and since he was one of the heroes of my childhood, I decided to look him up, so to say. And there was a very nice trait in him. In one interview he said, "I'm sometimes saying I'm the greatest, but that's of course not true. I'm not the greatest. I may be a great boxer, but the greatest is the Lord who has given everyone the ability." And then he turned to his interviewer and said, "I don't like you because you have only invited me into your TV broadcast because you hope to become famous by this. But what about number 20? He's also a good, he's a good 20. What about number 19? But because you cannot become famous with them, you have invited me. I do not like this about you." It's very straightforward, very honest. And I liked this quality, but of course it is good to be straightforward in one's spiritual life and be true to one's spirituality. And this we will learn from Damodar Pandit. I would like to start this evening's lesson by singing with you a little bit. Now, I do not know who of you is here who knows. I think Gaura Nataraj, you can play, you could accompany me, isn't it? Would you like to take a harmonium? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Gaura Prem Nandi Hari 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 Krishna Krishna.
So Hare Krishna, may I just make a little sound check before we start. I can remove this, maybe it's good for, this is good for Konya Bihari, for you, this position. Ananda Chaitanya, Ananda Vara, das ist eine gute Position hier, ja? Gut. Ja, once again I would like to welcome everyone for this, I think it is the third, no, it's the second session in this line, where we learn from different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever teachings they are teaching us. Mostly the teachings which are coming through the associates are teachings on spiritual principles. There are spiritual principles, or you could say tattvas, essential truths which help us to attain success in our endeavors in spiritual life. It's always very important that we will not, or we should not think of really imitating what these associates do, but we should try to follow them. There's a Sanskrit word for each one of the two. Imitating is anukaran, and following this Sanskrit for this is anusharan, and both these words make very clear what is the difference and what is the best way to follow someone. If you do anukaran, you do something which you could call it's something like mimicking without understanding really the principle. Someone who just mimics another's behavior, im Deutschen würde man sagen nachäffen, will come into a situation where what he mimics is exactly the wrong thing to do. You do need to understand what is the meaning of a certain activity. Prabhupada once surprised all of us by shocking us in some way when he said, "Don't mimic me, or don't mimic anyone's activities. You have to follow the essential teachings." And his it came, Prabhupada's instruction came to us when something very, very bad had happened. There was in Australia a grihastha, and he had beaten his wife so badly that the neighbors heard her loud screaming, and called the police, and then the police came and stopped this unfortunate fool. And they asked him, "Why do you beat your wife?" And then this man said something where he showed his total misunderstanding of spiritual principles by giving an answer which I don't even want to give in the internet, because people will talk about bad about the devotees, and nowadays we must be very careful to not give the wrong. But he said something so bad where it really showed he had not understood, but he had mimicked Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was told about this, and he then said, "You need to understand the essential meaning of what is going on." And he told us a little story about a very successful animal doctor. They are called, I believe, veterinaria or something, who had once cured a camel who was brought to him with a big, serious case of suffocating, ersticken. The doctor just looked at the camel, took a stick, and was beating with the stick on the swollen throat of the camel until the camel swallowed in deep pain, and the throat became clear and it could breathe again. Now, one of the students of the animal doctor had seen this simple method of treatment and opened a practice where he treated all the animals which were brought to him by beating on them with a stick. He killed many poor animals until the doctor was called to look into it. And when the doctor came and asked his student, former student, why he had treated all the animals while beating with a stick onto them, the student said, Guru Maharaj or Dr. Maharaj, I saw you treating a camel successfully with this treatment. The doctor said, this was one rare case where the camel had swollen a watermelon and that got stuck in the throat, and I needed to quickly help the poor thing by breaking the watermelon so that it could be swallowed and in this way clear the passage, the breath passage, the throat of the poor camel. This was one treatment for one certain case. It cannot be repeated in infections. It cannot be repeated when there are cases of broken bones and so on. just this one thing. You have not understood the principle of curing, but you have just mimicked one treatment and brought great misery over the animals and over their owners. From this day on, I forbid you to practice animal care because you are not qualified for this. So when we hear now about the principles which are taught by the associates of Mahaprabhu, we will have to understand it with the ears, but also with our discriminating mind and heart to understand this, and how especially this principle, which I will talk about now, needs to be understood properly and not be mimicked, we will hear, because we will hear now about saying straightforward the truth. We will find how this can be very good, but it can be very dangerous as well if we just mimic doing this. So let us start. Do you know what is the main symptom of a Vaishnava? A very interesting definition from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Let us think for a moment and ask ourselves, what is the symptom of a Vaishnava? I think there can be many answers, but let us think for a moment. Symptom of a Vaishnava. Something comes in your mind?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What comes immediately to me is that he is surrendered to Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur answered this in a different way. He said, Saralata hi Vaishnavata. Simplicity is a symptom of a Vaishnava. He used to say, it is better to remain in the species of birds and beasts than to obtain a human birth but allow duplicity to enter the heart. Duplicity is something like a deceiving mentality. You täuscht andere und du täuscht dich. Something like deception or self-deception even. And Srila Prabhupada defined this simplicity by saying, simplicity means that without diplomacy one should be so straightforward that one can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. One can say that the truth. One is very straightforward and one is free from diplomacy. I mean, I want to give, because I know that some new people are listening to these classes, I want to give an example which I was thinking yesterday about. America was engaged in a war against the Viet Cong, and it is still not possible for all Americans to understand why America had to intervene there. Now, at that time, the boxer Muhammad Ali was drafted into the army to be sent to Vietnam and fight. And he said, these people are simple farmers. They have not done anything bad to me. I will not go and fight. I don't think it is right to do this. And he was at that time just coming up in his profession as a professional boxer, and was threatened at the high point of his career when he was young to be placed into prison, and then his license to box would be removed, if not permanently, for sure temporarily. But he remained truthful to his inner convictions to not inflict violence or kill these simple farmers for I do not know what interests. I don't want to comment, but it certainly has to do with economic interests and interests of political dominance. He was not prepared to do this, and even when he was threatened, you know, he was a poor man coming from a section of society which was looked down upon. He had a big chance to become a wealthy man by doing what he was good in, to box. He remained straightforward, and he told what he believed. He was therefore removed from the boxing field. He was put into a prison, and he was not given the license to box again. In other words, all his material hopes were taken away from him, but he remained without diplomacy. He was straightforward. Like Prabhupada here says, simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that one can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. And at that time, there was a bad feeling against him from those who were empowered. It turned around. So being straightforward, speaking out the truth, even when when there could be disadvantages for you, is something which is a good quality, which we all have to learn, and I think you would all agree with this. But as we will learn from the example of Damodar Pandit, criticizing is a two-edged sword, ein Schwert, was in beide Seiten schneiden kann. Damodar Pandit, Prabhupada writes, was notable for his objectivity as a critic. He did not even spare Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his criticism. This also cannot be imitated by anyone else. So let us study now the two occasions in which Damodar Pandit criticized the Lord, and let us see a little bit if we can learn something about this very important quality for our spiritual life, to be straightforward with the truth. While Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri, There was a widowed Brahmin lady who was young still. She had lost her husband at an early age, and who had a very nice little boy, a little son, who used to come daily to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this boy had a very gentle behavior and was very respectful, the Lord allowed him to come very close into his association. He would often be seen talking with this boy. And soon the Lord was the life and soul for this little boy who had lost his father at an early age. So Damodar Pandit, who knew the strict laws of sannyas and how easily people would try to find fault with sannyasis, he became increasingly disturbed. What would people say if they would always see the young boy behaving very intimately and closely with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They would certainly start to talk. Well, the boy is the son of this beautiful unmarried young lady. Most properly, there is a secret relationship going on, and they would start talking like this and gossip about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Damodar Pandit, fearing that Mahaprabhu would be criticized by the public, became very protective and again spoke with the boy and forbade the son of a widow to visit the Lord. But of course the boy ignored him, because it is the nature of any boy to go and see a man who loves him. You know, this is the nature of little boys. They go to those who show affection to them. Therefore, I do not know. Mothers need to be very careful about what we called in Germany Mitschnacker. You know, these are men with immoral behavior who give the children some candies, maybe once or twice, and then they have gained the face of the children, and then they take the children and do something immoral with them or harmful with them. So in this case, it was different. The boy was very fortunate to have the loving attention of the Lord and would just ignore all the attempts of Damodar Pandit to keep him away from the Lord. One day, after the boy had stood up and left Mahaprabhu, Damodar Pandit came to Mahaprabhu and began to speak. "Everyone says that you are a great teacher because of your instructions to others. But see, the people of Purushottam will soon start to gossip about you, and this will spread throughout the town." At first, Gauranga Mahaprabhu did not understand what Damodar Pandit was getting at. Auf was sich bezog, sagt man in Deutsch. So Damodar Pandit saw that the Lord did not really understand what he had in mind, and therefore he became more explicit. Er hat das deutlicher ausgedrückt. "You are the independent personality of Godhead, and you can act as you please. I know this. No one can say anything to restrict you. But my Lord, the people of this world are impudent, unverschämt. The people can say anything. Look, why don't you consider, this boy is the son of a widowed Brahmana. Brahmani. Although the boy's mother is completely austere and chaste, she has one fault. She's a very beautiful young girl. And you, my dear Lord, are a handsome, attractive young man. Why then do you behave so affectionately towards this widow's child? Such a close relationship will give the world the occasion to talk rumors. Why should you give the people such an opportunity? So Prabhupada explains what was going on in the heart of Damodar Pandit, and I believe it's pretty clear, but some of you might feel, well, what is he talking to the Lord? The Lord knows everything. Isn't he taking two big words in his small mouth? You might think like this, but Prabhupada says, as a simple and staunch devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Damodar Pandit could simply not tolerate any criticism of the Lord. So it was a little bit on the edge, you know. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought about everything and then thought, Damodar Pandit is a little too much. He's impudent. But this impudence, Unverschämtheit, is a sign of pure love for me. I really have no other intimate friend in this world like this Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit was extremely strict. Therefore, everyone was afraid of him and dared not do anything where Damodar Pandit could become hot-headed. He was so strict that as soon as he found a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deviating even a little bit from the proper behavior, he would verbally chastise them and thus establish the standard of etiquette. It is said that if one hears about this, atheistic principles and ignorance depart. Isn't it sometimes in our life that we may be a little free and it becomes a little bit, maybe we don't see the border, and then when we are close to someone very staunch, very strong, when our Guru Maharaj comes and we go like, hide all the things. Oh, Devi, hide all the DVDs. Is are they called DVDs or whatever? And oh my God, this has the poem as well. You know, and I think we all know about this. I always notice this when I come and visit devotees. It always looks so absolutely wow, so absolutely straightened up, and everything. It looks so absolutely Krishna consciousness, and so on and so forth. And I think this is good. If there's someone whom we respect, someone whom we love, and we know he is fixed in his life, he appeals to a voice in us which we should be more truthful to. It's the voice of our own conscience, which begins when this is a healthy thing, when it's a healthy relationship, and this happens in a healthy frame. Then this voice gets strength in us. I feel this happens when I come into the association of really good devotees. I feel this association is good because it strengthens a little voice which I may not always give enough attention to in my life. So therefore the Chaitanya Charitamrita up till now is very much on the side of Damodar Pandit's strictness. It condones it. It says it's good. Maharaj, but there was something when it was not good. And I feel it's important because we deal now with principles and we want to understand what does it mean to mimic them mindlessly and what does it mean to apply them consciously. When the Lord had returned from South India, the King Maharaj Pratapa Rudra asked several times for permission to meet him. I think you remember this. But Mahaprabhu always felt he had to play in public the role of an ideal sannyasi. And at that time, sannyasis were really something else than today, in the sense that they were so much, their behavior was so much ruled by very, very amazing and strict rules. For instance, they couldn't see a wealthy man because, I know today, don't get shocked, don't fall under your chairs, because they were not allowed to deal with people who were engaged in politics and in maneuvering. I mean, they could see wealthy men in spreading Krishna consciousness to them, but they were not encouraged to come to them because of their money and then getting advantages and material benefits from them. They were encouraged to be pure and not misuse the trust of others due to their position and so on. But they were not allowed to meet people who were engaged in politics, who were untruthful to get material goals. And usually politicians were like this. And so Mahaprabhu refused to see the king because he was engaged in politics. But the king was such a pure devotee, he became so disheartened that he threatened to give up his kingdom and become a beggar if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not see him. And this made a big impression on the devotees. The devotees said, "My Lord, he's different. He's not one of these politicians. He is really your devotee, and he is so desperate now that he will give up this kingdom, and this kingdom will go to ruin. Maybe then a real politician will rule it in his own favor," and so on. And therefore, Nityananda came personally to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "Please, I beg you, he's a good man. I have tested him. See him." Hare Krishna. Nityananda said, "This king has decided to become a mendicant and accept all the external signs of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring." Now, this is a particular group of mendicants. They are very, very, very renounced. They sit sometimes in the fire, in the burning sun. They are surrounded by burning heaps of cow dung, fires. It is really hot, and they want to understand they are not the body. And in the winter, they go in freezing cold. They are really amazing. They give up really everything. No home, no hut. They sleep under trees or who knows where. And he doesn't want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing your lotus feet and your moon-like faith to his full satisfaction. And Mahaprabhu's heart was somewhat softened when he heard about this decision. Imagine you hear that there is someone who wants to see you so badly, like Syami wants to see his father. And who is prepared to do anything and everything for meeting you. I think you will, even if you have little time or some reasons to not see him, you will consider his request. But nevertheless, Mahaprabhu maintained a hardliner attitude because he wanted to correct Damodar Pandit. He knew Damodar Pandit would criticize him if he would see make an exception to the rule and see Maharaj Prataparudra. And he wanted to show him, be careful, you are a little bit too critical. Sometimes it's good, but sometimes you go over the border. So listen to this. It's very sweet because Mahaprabhu is extremely subtle. Yeah, Mahaprabhu said one day to the devotees, you come every day and you request me to see this king. I have given my reason why I don't want to see him, but I understand you want me to go to Katak, where the king has his palace, and visit him. But look, what to speak of my own spiritual advancement, all the people will blaspheme me if I go. And what to speak of all the people, the Damodar Pandit will chastise me. Therefore I shall not meet the king. Even though you all request me to, I shall do so only if Damodar Pandit will give his permission. Very subtle. It's maybe too subtle for us, so let us... I also have read this many times and tried to understand, so let us go to Prabhupada's comment. Whenever there was anything that might touch or taint the character of the Lord, Damodar Pandit would immediately point it out, not even considering the exalted position of the Lord. It is sometimes said that fools rush in where angels dare not. Also, manchmal sagt man, dass Dummköpfe dort reinstürzen, wo nicht mal die Engel es wagen, hereinzuschweben. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out Damodar Pandit's foolishness in coming forward to criticize the Lord. This is why the Lord stated that if Damodar Pandit would give him permission, he would go to see the king. There's a deep meaning in this statement. For it is a warning that Damodar should not dare criticize the Lord anymore, for it was not befitting his position as a devotee. A devotee or a disciple should never attempt to criticize the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. I read this in a time when when critics amongst Prabhupada's disciples started to also criticize Srila Prabhupada for certain things he said and so on. And I knew Prabhupada was talking about this point. So Damodar Pandit caught the subtle point and immediately replied. He could understand, he has chastised me. And he muttered, he said, my Lord, you are the supremely independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since everything is known to you, you know what is permissible and what is not permissible, or what should be done or what should not be done. I am merely an insignificant jiva. So what power do I have to give directions to you? Then Damodar Pandit told his feeling, I feel you will meet the king very soon because you are subject to devotion and the king is very devoted to you. Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and completely independent, still you are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees. This is one quality of Krishna which Damodar Pandit points out. There's nothing which can move the Lord's heart as much as the devotion of his devotees. Therefore he's called Bhakta Priya, the beloved of the Bhaktas. It is a very nice quality, a very hope-giving quality of our Lord, that he just is also Bhava Grahi Janarana. He sees when his devotees sincerely try to offer him something, even though the offering may be imperfect, but he becomes sold to the devotees. An example of this is when the Brahmin Sudama visited the Lord in his earthly home in Dwaraka, and he had only brought with him a little pouch, a kleines Säckchen of broken rice. When he was before the Lord in his palace and saw the tremendous opulence of the palace, he was so overwhelmed by what he saw, but also by the kindness of the Lord, who asked him to sit down with him on a bed, that he was just so overwhelmed, he did not think that it would be appropriate to offer that broken rice. But the Lord saw that he is my great devotee. He brought a gift for me, and he said, did you bring anything for me? Sudama said, oh, no, nothing, nothing, nothing. And he tried to hide the pouch like this. But the Lord, seeing that he was a devotee with a loving offering, wanted to accept it. And he grabbed the pouch and took some grains and ate them, until finally Rukmini forbade him. The goddess of fortune forbade him and said, my Lord, this is not a proper offering for you to take. But still, the Lord took this as so special that when Sudama left him, the Lord thought in his mind that again my devotee has outdone me. He has given me a gift which I cannot return in the nature of the gift. Because he has given me something he had to go and beg for. It was not in his possession. But I can't give my devotee back something in return which is not in my possession, because I own everything. So this devotee has given me something which is so much bigger than anything I can ever hope to give him. And he felt despondent. I don't know how you feel if someone gives you something constantly and you can't return it. Maybe because your heart is cold or you are poor. You feel very inadept, wie sagt man das in Deutsch? So ungenügend. So, oh, was ist mit mir los? Was bin ich denn für einer? Fürchterlich. And so the Lord felt like this. Imagine, this is how much he becomes impressed by even a simple offering of his devotee. And this is his kindness. So Damodar Pandit knew, this king is now so much devoted to you, my Lord, that you will certainly, and you are free to override all the principles, because and you will give him his mercy and see him, and in his way, because he muttered it, he said it silently, he felt he had gone too far, that now the Lord says, I will only go to the king. This Damodapandi gives me the permission and doesn't get on my case afterwards. So later Mahaprabhu wanted to make good. He had chastised in a subtle way his dear Damodar Pandit, whom he very much, he called him, he's my only friend. I don't have such a friend like him, you know, who corrects even me in my interest and so on. And so he later said, Damodar, you are very dear to me. Why don't you go to Navadvip, to my mother, and help her supervising her household affairs. You're very strict and practical. This is what you can do. Damodar Pandit felt very good about it because the Lord was sending him to his own mother, Sachi Devi. I see no one but you to protect her, for you are so careful that you can caution even me. You are the most neutral amongst my devotee associates. This is a very good principle. For without being neutral, that means you say the truth when it needs to be said, one cannot protect Dharma or religious principles. So you can see here that the main idea which the Lord wants to show us through the dvara, dvara means through the door of Damodar Pandit, or the main thing he wants to bring forth is that we should be straightforward, we should say the truth, we should live the truth. And I think we all know that this is a good quality, because whenever we do it, the voice of our conscience says, you did the right thing. Still, as we are engaged in this, we should know that in this world, everything can, and the good thing can become something which is not good and which needs to be corrected by the Lord. If we just don't go over the fine line. And I looked up about something about this. You know, I see this especially in let us call it the shadow of ISKCON. That is sometimes that the dissatisfied devotees who may not have reached what they wanted to reach become so disturbed and then project their disturbance on others. This is because this temple president in my temple did not look at me, therefore I'm not feeling well. Or, in a community, we may think, oh, the leader of our community, he did not give me what I wanted, and therefore my life is not the way I wanted. This is called a projection. You have to be responsible for your own well-being and so on. So, but there are many people in this world, many people, the world is full of them, who just are always liking to talk about negative things. Even this is a problem in news. Only bad news are news which you can sell. I was at this conference, and one speaker said something very interesting, that nowadays we always hear, oh, we live in the most dangerous time of the world. So much war, so much violence. But then he shared with us a scientific research which said that if you lived in old times, there was a 20% chance in your life that you would die because of someone inflict, giving you a violent death. 20%. In old times, Prema Mayi Radhe, there was a 20% chance in your life that your death would be not natural, but you would be killed on the street or so on. Now, the percentage is 1%. It really has gone down significantly. And in Denmark, it's 0.025%, and so on. Of course, he said, this is a global measurement. It's not a measurement, you know, if you go to a place like Syria, you have now a higher percent than 1% to die by a violent death. But all in all, there is this principle that that we live globally. There's a principle that we live in the most safest time of planet Earth. Just imagine this. I was amazed, and I said, "Really? Is this?" He was cornered in the speaker's corner, and everyone, you know, said, "No, no, everything is so bad." He said, "Globally, it's more safe." I was thinking about this when I heard another statistical number. There was big talk in Germany about the threat of the Flüchtlinge, refugees. And we live, but there is a very good number. The number of refugees is 1.25% of the populace of Germany are refugees. We have to ask ourselves, why in this country are people so absolutely panic-stricken about this number? There's an Italian village on the other side, a little village somewhere, where they have 1,500 people, and 500 of those are Syrians, wie sagt man das in English? People from Syria and Africans, 500, that's one third or 33% of the population, and they live very happily with each other. Why all news? Oh, they take away our Arbeitsplatz, our working place, our money, and so on. Now I have heard that no one writes about it any longer. But why was it such a paranoia? Because people are learning to project their insecurities outside and then start to criticize these poor refugees and so on, and panic and so on. I know that there are problems, there can be problems, but problems can also happen with Germans. In fact, they do a lot. For instance, on the Autobahn, I know 50,000 people die in a year from the Germans, you know, who drive too fast, and so on. It is, problems can happen, yes. So Nietzsche used to say, someone who fights with monsters must be careful that he doesn't become a monster himself. And if you look long enough into the abyss, abgrund, the abyss will look deeply into your soul. This, you know, negativity by projecting my own insecurities on others is something which is very widespread in our society in which we live, and as we know that ISKCON is sometimes quite a little transparent and takes on influences and so on, it may also be there in our society. I don't know, maybe in a big countries like America or so, there's something like this. I don't think of examples, but this can very much happen also in our own individual life, and therefore we should be careful when we criticize, when we need to criticize, if this is the good thing, the straightforwardness, or if it is a projection of our own issues which we will have to purify slowly onto others. We need to find that out. No one can, I think, tell this to us. We are the ones who need to find this out and make a good assessment of this. So simplicity, this is the idea. Jagadananda wrote, I read this many years ago, and I could find this verse for you, and I want to share it with you today. If you want to worship Lord Gauranga, make your heart simple and straightforward. Worship the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, giving up duplicity and deceit. Merely saying, I belong to Gauranga, I belong to Gauranga, is giving him lip service only. And that has no effect. Following the example of his actions, following the example, not mimicking, following the examples of his actions and sentiment is the only thing that will be a fruit. Huh? Follow him. Don't just say, I belong to Gauranga. I am a Gauranga man. I love Gauranga. <It's all laughs> Be honest. Don't try to look good while inside you have something else on your mind. An example from a dishonest person is a crane. We have a crane just opposite. We have actually two very interesting birds opposite, who live opposite to us. One is a brahmachari swan. He is not in any relationship. He is really renounced. He's always alone. A swan. And he likes to come when devotees are there. And when devotees discuss or chant, he will be with them and listen to the good vibrations. And he's a little bit interested also in prasadam, but not 100%. I mean, he's not nagging you or giving you a hard time when he is. He's a real nice swan. You should see him. His name is Hansaraj. And we have another bird who lives opposite. He's a crane. He stands there like this, and he looks very saintly, but he never comes to associate. He is always looking like this, and it looks as if he's meditating. But when once I caught him, he looked very saintly, like a renounced meditator. But then his head went like zoop, and he caught a fish, and then we understood, well, he's pretending. He's outside, very saintly, but he just thinks about catching fish and eating fish. So, my dear devotees, the fallen are not exempted from Krishna's mercy. If they keep worshipping Krishna with affectionate faith and firm determination, the fallen will become good. But those who cheat, they don't get the mercy of Krishna. Sanatana Goswami said that the Lord is known for giving his mercy to the fallen, patita pavana, but he's not kapata fallen, kapata pavana, that is the savior of the cheaters. He usually corrects the cheaters and makes them good people. If they are Krishna conscious and keep on chanting and doing everything for the pleasure of the Lord. But the Lord is called Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen, not Kapata Pavana. There's no name like this, I found, the savior of the cheaters. No, because We need straightforwardness. We need inside, inside should be the same as outside. Hare Krishna. This is what we can learn from Damodar Pandit. Once the Lord had a meeting, and this is how it will end. It was a very, very special meeting. He had a meeting, I think I've written it down, with Shankara and with Damodar Pandit and Shankara Pandit. Do you know who Shankara Pandit? The brother of Damodar Pandit. As a younger brother. And Lord Chaitanya was bleeding. He had spent the night in his little room in Gambira, and he felt so much separation in that night. He had heard the flute of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of Krishna. He had heard the flute of Krishna. And in his mind, he must have rushed down the familiar paths in Vrindavan to go down to the Yamuna to meet the Lord standing under the Vamsivat. But here he was in this small little room and he could not go. So he was rubbing his face on the walls, trying to escape and meet the Lord whose flute he had heard. And he had become, he had ripped his face open and there was blood coming. There was a meeting. What should be done? And he saw the two brothers, Damodar Pandit. He knew his younger brother, Shankara, was not so intense. And it's very endearing. He said to Damodar Pandit, "My dear Damodar, my affection for you is on the platform of awed reverence. But I simply love your younger brother with all my heart." And Damodar Pandit said, "Shankara is younger to me in age, but from this day on I will treat him as my elder brother because you have given him your special mercy." And this is what Lord Chaitanya did later. He took Shankara Pandit in his little room in the night, and he would Shankara Pandit would guard him so that he wouldn't get up and rub his face, his beautiful lotus face, on the wall and hurt himself. At first Shankara Pandit was sleeping, they were almost sleeping next to, yes, totally next to each other. And then Chaitanya, who couldn't sleep in the night, would put the chatter over Shankara because he loved him so much, and he would stay up all night. And then Shankara Pandit found this out in the morning, "I'm dressed in the Lord's chatter," and he said, "No, this won't work. you sleep and then you can put your legs on my body, and then whenever you stir heißt wenn du dich regst, then I will notice and I will protect you." So this was done. Shankara Pandit became known as the, I have written, Prabhu Padopadan. It means the cushion of Prabhu. He was the cushion of Mahaprabhu because Mahaprabhu would put his feet on him in the night so that he would be protected. So this were the two brothers. Mahaprabhu said to Damodar Pandit, "My affection for you is on the platform of awe and reverence." How beautiful, he says. "But I simply love your younger brother with all my heart. Therefore, take good care of him. Take good care. So this is a little bit from the beautiful mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his pastimes, Shankara Damodar Pandit, Shankara Pandit, proper behavior, need to correct things, and many such subjects we have discussed today. We have still a little bit time to. I think I will. I will see if there's one question of you, and then we will just sing a little bit, and we will end really on time. I very much appreciate one of you has said very nicely to me. You are often going over the time. That's not good, because our people who watch it have to. They have other things, and I thought this was very good. Good straightforwardness. What the Chaitanya Charitamrita speaks about here as a good quality. No? I thought this. So Hare Krishna, any question you have on? Hare Krishna, I saw you first, but then I saw Gaur. Is it all right with you?
Yes.
Good, yes.
So my question is how to be straightforward amongst the devotees. If we see someone is deviating a little bit more,
yeah.
Should we say, okay, don't act like this, or should we just wait and see, oh, he is a devotee, he is under the shower, and there's no reason to say,
it will go, yeah. I will say here two things. When it is Vaishnava etiquette is like this, when it is a higher devotee, who is superior to us, maybe in spiritual life and so on, it is best if we talk to his superiors and see talk with the superiors, because he will also accept guidance more from his superiors than from us. It has a practical reason, but it has also a Vaishnava etiquette reason. The etiquette reason is that we may misjudge him because he's just a little different, you know. Like, I think your child can also not always understand when you type on the computer that what you are doing, the more informations you have and cannot understand. At the same time, you know, there is so many, there may be so many etiquette rules, but I very much appreciated something with what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. Ultimately, a devotee should follow also the voice of conscience, his own conscience. And I like this very, very much, that we may have so many rules which are there to guide our behavior and see that things are done nicely, like this rule, when a Vaishnava is superior than us, we should go to his superiors and say, I saw this, could you, is this correct, or, you know, is this wrong, am I wrong, or is it, you know, when we feel in our conscience, there is also there this voice of conscience. I like a very, very nice, there is something of, you know, I think we all know that the traditional value nowadays, everyone faints when he hears it, of obedience, gehorsam. Oh my God, we almost faint nowadays as modern people when we hear something about obedience. We feel, this is medieval stuff. It really ruined our society, our Western society. Look at all the people who were obedient to Hitler. What happened there? And so on. But I think a very nice aspect on obedience is to be obedient to the voice of one's conscience. I like this concept very much, that we have a conscience, ein Gewissen, and that conscience is very often the voice of the Lord, or it is at least a voice from a deeper moral institution within us, and so on. So I very much like to be to say that let us understand these Vaishnava etiquettes, that we don't criticize. So, but if our conscience tells us that this needs to be done, then we should carefully do that, but not out of, with the right motives. With the right motives. When you act on the voice of conscience, it will always be with the right motive. You cannot go wrong when you are connected with conscience. But be careful. As Tsigi Jung said, it's not always easy to know what is the voice of conscience or what are just some things which come from down, from the unconscious, like he said about Hitler, that the Hitler was always guided by his subconsciousness, but it was not very good guidance, because there were very bad things happening. So be careful that if you do something, it's the voice of conscience. It's something pure. It's not the six enemies which are around us. Hare Krishna. Good. Hare Krishna. I know our devotees always want to chant. Maybe ask the Gadadhar to take the harmonium. Das ist noch unsere starke Melodie. Vielleicht die Lieblingsmelodie von Radharam. Du kannst ja alles finden. Du findest das. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, I want to say goodbye to all our internet viewers. See you for the next Gaura Lila evening. It is there's a web page, I think, where the dates are disclosed. Hare Krishna.